Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of It's All About Relationship. I'm David Novak, and you're about to listen to episode number 109. Hey everyone, welcome to the show once again. If you're a regular listener, I really appreciate you coming back and your dedication to the show. Thank you so much. And if you're new, welcome aboard. We've got some good stuff for you today. I'd like to think we always have good stuff for you, but today's a little extra special. But before we get into that, I just want to tell you, like I said, this is episode number 109, but just a quick announcement on the other side of what we do, which, you know, you all know I'm an actor, stuff like that. Anyway, we have a new movie, Western, coming out, kind of a faith-based thing. It's not really a faith-based Western, but there are definitely aspects of faith in there, so I'm going to kind of call it that, if you don't mind. It's called Among the Willows. We're having an international premiere in April 22nd, and we'll have about three premieres, one up north. I'm in California, so one up north and then a couple in Southern California, and then it'll be out available streaming in maybe some theaters and that kind of thing. So anyway, just wanted to tell you all about that. Okay, so normally you listen to me rant on and on about things that are on my heart, and of course I always try to be encouraging and all that sort of thing. However, or in addition to, I should say, sometimes we have special guests, and today is one of those days that we have a special guest. Now, the guy that I have coming on right now, awesome person, this will be his fourth appearance, well, you can't see it, of course, it's audio, but fourth time on the show. And anyway, from Church of Grace in Yorba Linda, California, Pastor Josh Lotzenizer. Welcome, Josh.
What? What's up, Dave? Thank you for having me. Yeah, let's go.
Well, it's really nice having you. Like I said, this is the fourth time you've been on, and you know, we started this. Our first episode was broadcast on July 25th of 2019. So that's,
wow.
I know, that's like 3.5 years ago, and I didn't even really realize that until a little bit ago. I thought, when was our first one? And I knew we've done 108 episodes so far. This is 109. So I thought, I know it's been a couple of years, but I didn't realize it was back in the middle of 19, which is just pre-COVID, I guess, right? So,
gee, look at that.
I know, huh? So anyway, so here we are. Pastor Josh, Church of Grace, Yorba Linda, California. And by the way, folks, if you want to listen to any of Pastor Josh's previous teachings, he's an awesome teacher. You can go to churchofgrace.com, and you can listen to audios or watch videos, and it's really an awesome resource, and you definitely want to you know, pick up on some pastor's teachings, because he's really very good, and I really mean that. So anyway, so
well, thank you. That's high praise. I appreciate that. Really do.
That's my shout out to you. And I really do mean it. I'm not just blowing smoke, you know. So hey,
I'll pay you later.
It's in the mail, hopefully. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So one of the things that kind of tend to get on my heart, and I know some people personally that kind of bring up the same thing. You always kind of feel like maybe you're not doing enough. You know, like the Lord's always not, I don't want to say mad at you, but like you're not, like you feel condemned all the time, or you know, you just have a feeling of uneasiness, if you know what I mean. And it's always, you know, I want to make the Lord happy all the time. I personally do, but I fall short pretty much, I would say every day. So there's something I do that's not right. So anyway, what are you thinking on that, Pastor?
Yeah, that's the problem with humanity. I mean, we go back all the way. It begins with the fall in Genesis. You know, when sin enters in, sin just destroys everything. And of course, the title of your series here, it's all about relationship, and that's primarily what was destroyed. And we as humanity, with this marriage with sin and death, has fundamentally destroyed so much of our identity. And within us, we know we were created for something greater, something bigger. I believe in Ecclesiastes, I forget what chapter exactly, but it says that within every one of us, God has planted eternity, that there's eternity within every one of us. And Romans chapter 1 talks about that we can see, Romans 1 talks about how we can see God's natural revelation in creation, and then we suppress the truth. And then in Romans 2 and 3, Paul goes into the law of conscience, that we know in every one of us that there is an objective moral law within every one of us that we do fall short of. And so we're left with this issue of, great, what do we do? Can we ascend to heaven? Can we ascend and earn or work hard enough to get back this relationship with God? And of course, the answer we know is, the answer that we all know is, it's absolutely not. We needed was a savior. We needed someone to come save us from our situation. And that's Jesus. And it's, so it's an act of humility to turn to God in repentance. It's a pure humble act, because what you're doing is you're saying, I can't save myself. There's nothing in me or around me that can save me.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
Can I ask you, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but you just said a person to turn and in repentance. Okay. Now, I know repentance means turning away from the direction that you were going, but are you
right?
And I'm just going to play the dummy here, you know, for anybody.
No, yeah.
But let's say, okay, so I go to God and I say, okay, God, I can't do this on my own. Save me. And I'm repenting and I'm turning and I'm going the other direction. But in the back of my head, and here comes the condemnation part, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, well, I still got this thing that I do that I'm struggling with and I can't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I can't promise you, Lord, that I'm never going to, oh gosh, let's just say alcohol. Let's say he's an alcoholic. So you say,
yeah.
Okay, so I can't promise you, Lord, I'm going to stop drinking, but I know it's sinful, you know, to be an alcoholic, but I want to repent, but I can't promise you I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay, so there's another setup for you there.
Well, I love that too, though. That's just being honest with God as well. And it's being lack of confidence in self, which I think is key to actually getting free from something like alcoholism or some other issue that you're facing. Is God's not looking for a promise that she'll never do it again, but the repentance of turning to God. What you said was key, was that you are agreeing with God that there is an issue. That's humility. It's like, yeah, I'm agreeing with you, God, about what is sin, and I am on this path of living a life of holiness and living a sanctified life. And it's not an overnight process. It's not a push a button and everything's perfect. It's an ongoing process. And the gift of repentance that God has given us, it's so much more than just saying, I'm sorry for my sins, God, forgive me, and then continue on. Repentance is, oh my, it's, of course, sorrow can be a part of that. And there's godly sorrow that leads us to turn. You should feel bad about sin. If you don't feel bad about sin, there's something's wrong there. You know, your heart isn't sensitive to the ways of God. And, you know, you need to get in the Word and you know, turn from that hardness of heart. But that sorrow of sin leads us to repent and to turn to God and bring it to Him in confession. We don't confess to God to get forgiven. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that we forgive because we have been, past tense, forgiven. But I confess it to the Lord. I bring it out because God can't heal what remains secret. And He already knows everything about me. He already knows everything I'm going through. He already knows all my struggles, and He knew them before He saved me. He knew every sin I would commit, and He put all of the judgment for that sin at the cross. So my judgment has passed. It's at the cross. So when I mess up, repentance today is God, I agree with you. That was wrong. I own it. I take responsibility for it. And if I harm somebody or transgress someone else, I'm going to own it with them, and I'm going to seek forgiveness with them, and I'm going to apologize and make it right. And with you, I'm going to trust you that you're going to continue working on me, that I am a work in progress. And I like what Paul says in Philippians 1:6. He says that the work that He has begun in you, He will finish it. So when God knows we're a work in process, and that the work is not going to be completed until Christ returns. Yet we stay in process. So the righteous person, though he falls 7 times, he gets up every time. And that's the key, is when we stumble and we don't get up, and we don't repent in the sense of turning back to God. The getting up part is the getting back to God, getting back on track. And this is what I think was touching for many in the message this last week that you were talking about, was a lot of people, when we become Christians, we still stumble. And we think, oh, no, you know, I thought I was better than that, or I thought I was over this. I thought I was beyond this. And look, I'm just as bad as I've always been. And what we end up doing is entering into this guilt and shame and condemnation for our behavior.
Yeah.
And what that root of condemnation does, and condemnation, just to put it in a very simplified meaning, means you ain't worth anything. You know, when a building is condemned, it's not usable. And so you see yourself as dirty.
And now let's say you get the enemy comes at you on a daily basis, or maybe not you, but some people that might be listening.
Oh,
says,
no.
Well, you're not saved. You're not really saved, because if you were,
absolutely,
you wouldn't be doing this, or, you know, whatever. So now you're dealing with all this, not only condemnation, but now you're being lied to and you're thinking you're not saved. You know, so you get saved 18 times, or, you know, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. And if there was no future potential for a strong believer, let's say you have the strongest believer there is, and if there was no potential for sin, that God would be surprised, let's say God's surprised, oh my goodness, they sinned again, then why would he have to tell us in Romans 8:1? There is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. No, that would just be a redundant statement.
That's good. That's good. That's really good.
There's a reason that's in there. It's because the potential isn't, of course, the potential for sin is there all the time, which is why I believe Paul writes over and over in many different instances, Philippians chapter 3, where he says, have no confidence in the flesh. Why? Because the flesh sins. It's the ways of Adam. It's our old ways. And the point of sanctification is the killing off of the old man and being renewed with the new man. But if we would never stumble again, there'd be no need to say, hey, don't have confidence in the flesh. And also, at the same time, there's no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. The key here is where we are. And this is what will help people not deal with condemnation. Is when I was, before I was saved, when I sinned in Adam. Okay, my identity overrides everything. So I sinned in Adam. Today, when I sin in Christ. Now, that sounds it sounds bad. It sounds wrong. Well, I'm sinning in Christ. Well, that's the truth. Is when you place your faith in God, when you place your faith in Christ Jesus, God translates you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. It's a work that he does. You are now a new creation. You're born again, and you are in Christ Jesus. And the only way we can be in Christ and remain in Christ Jesus is not a work of our own, but it's a work of the Lord. So when I am in Christ Jesus and I sin, my sin did not separate me from being in Christ Jesus. I don't go nonstop from in Christ Jesus to in Adam, in Christ Jesus to in Adam.
Oh,
no,
that's
silly. Yeah. Just like when I was in Adam, I couldn't just go like, okay, I did a good work. I'm in Christ now. No. That's not how this thing works. I didn't get saved because of my behavior. I'm not righteous because of my behavior. I'm righteous because of Christ's righteousness. I'm righteous because of his obedience. And I placed my faith in him and what he's accomplished. So because I'm in Christ Jesus, that means judgment or condemnation has passed. It passed at the cross. And that's what Romans 8 is telling us in the first four verses. There's no condemnation because what the law couldn't do, God did and succeeded in condemning sin at the cross. So the condemnation that I'm supposed to be under, God put it on the cross of Jesus. So that's past tense for me. That's why I'm not in a place of worthlessness. I'm not in a place of no use, in a place of deserving of punishment. Christ took that for me. And here's what's amazing about being in Christ Jesus. And I think we'll help people remember this, and stay in this place. Martin Luther, you know, one of the founders of the Reformation, and you know, his teachings and writings are still making a huge impact today. He said about himself that he has to preach the gospel to him himself every single day. This is a daily reminder. We so easily forget about where we are. We forget about our identity. We forget about who we are because we're surrounded by the natural world. We're surrounded by our senses and our feelings and our emotions and our mistakes. And we can easily miss the true reality that God has revealed to us through his Son and through his Word. And that's why it's so important that we remain in his Word and remind ourselves daily of our position in Christ Jesus. Because God, the triune God, and this is really beautiful, the triune God with Father, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they are in the three, they're three persons, one God. They share the same essence, but they're three distinct persons. And we're not going to go into a Trinity discussion here. But what I want to point out is before there ever was a creation, before there ever was a man, before there was ever this world, there was the triune God that was living in complete and total fulfillment, satisfaction, joy, and love. The God the Father loved the Son completely. It wasn't a selfish love. It was a full giving love. And God the Son loved God the Father with a full love. And in that love, they dwell. And I like what C.S. Lewis points out. And the Holy Spirit is a result of that love. He's a result of that relationship. And we see in Romans 5:5, the Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts, shedding the love of God in our hearts.
That's an interesting. That's an interesting thought right there. You just said, I want to see if I got it right. Did you just say that the Holy Spirit is a result of the Father and the Son's love, something like that?
Yeah, but we have to, you know, our terminology, I have to always be careful because when you think of result, you can also think of there's time in between an action and then a result.
Right.
But
no,
it's not that case because they've,
right,
because they've always been. There's never a moment where the Holy Spirit wasn't.
Exactly.
So our English language fails to portray perfectly the mystery of the Trinity.
Yeah.
But yes, and if we can use that language, which falls short, but I don't want to mislead people. As if the Holy Spirit was an afterthought or something.
Right, right.
But he is the, as C.S. Lewis puts
the
it,
expression,
the result. The
expression of love?
You could, yeah, but he's also person. So,
right.
You know, he's beyond just an emotion or an expression. He's very much a person.
Right.
But he is a result, as C.S. Lewis says, he's a result of that love. So
that's interesting. I never heard that before. I mean, put in that way, I've never heard that. I mean, so that's...
Yeah, you can... He talks about it in his book, Mere Christianity, which is pretty good. But the point that I'm making here, which is beautiful, is think about Christ Jesus and what he lived in. With the relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Father, this perfect, fulfilled, satisfied love, just unadulterated. There's no sin. There's nothing wrong. It's just pure and it's perfect and it's this love. And there's nothing in between their love. It's a full love. Language falls short in expressing this. Now, what Paul says is that we have been placed in Christ Jesus, which means we have entered into that eternal relationship. Of that eternal love, that perfect love from the Father. We're loved by the Father the same, with the same intensity and the same amount that Jesus Christ is loved by the Father.
That blows my mind, right? If you really think about what you just said right there, it's just like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? The Father loves me just as much as he does Jesus? No way.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the right. That's, you know what I'm saying? Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's when you read Jesus's high priestly prayer in John 17, he says in John 17:26, he says, I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
Wow.
And so an answer to the Lord's prayer is us being in Christ Jesus, Christ being in us, the hope of glory, is that we have stepped into that beautiful, perfect love between the Father and the Son. And notice I'm put in Christ Jesus. So I'm not there on my own merits. I'm not there even in my own name and what I've done and my own resume. That's why may my boast only be in the Lord. May my boast only be in the cross of Jesus. May my boast only be in his grace and nothing of my own. Because anything I do that's good, anything I have that's good, anything I produce that's good, any fruit that I have to present to the Lord is truly from him anyways. The very breath I breathe to do these good works he gave me, the very knowledge I have of him of what is good and evil came from him, the very power I have to do good works came from him, the very righteousness I do these good works in came from him. The very life I have is from him. He sustains all things by the power of his word, you know, and in him all things consist. So there's really nothing we can actually take credit for, but it's a beautiful thing is that it does require our full participation of yielding ourselves in faith and trusting in the Lord that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. But here's the thing back with condemnation is because I'm in Christ Jesus, therefore, and it wasn't on my own merit. It wasn't because of what I did that was amazing. And all of a sudden now God loves me because, wow, Josh, Josh, that was a good sermon, man. I love you a little bit more today. Good job. And then I fail and I do a bad sermon. And then he's like, ah, nah, you didn't live up to my standard. What standard are we talking about? You know, what standard are we judging ourselves with that makes us feel condemned? Well, the standard that we should have would be the law. But guess what? The law is fulfilled. Christ fulfilled that standard on our behalf. So God's not putting us up against some standard saying, are you living up to this? We do that to ourselves. Mm-hmm. God already knows who we are, and he is the one that's molding us and making us now into who we already are. If you think about it, God is treating us. God sees us a million years from now. God knows exactly what Josh looks like, the pure and real Josh, the Josh that he created without sin, without mistakes, without blemish. He sees that person, and he's responsible for molding me into that person. Mm. So where does condemnation come in? It comes in when I start thinking that all of this is dependent upon me, and I've failed. Mm. Wait a minute. No. Don't miss it. It's not on you. It's on him. So when we do mess up, and repentance is turning back to God, sorry, God, that's obviously I got some kind of hope in myself there. You know, I somehow had some kind of confidence in myself that I was doing a good job. Why are you even aware of how you're doing anyways in that regard? That's why Colossians 3, hey, if you died and your life is hidden with Christ, set your mind on things above where Christ is. We should be a people that are beholding and have our attention set on him. Not on myself. The more my attention is set on myself, the more I'm going to sin, the more I'm going to mess up, and the more I'm going to step into condemnation. But the more my eyes are set on him, and I have this gratitude, this joy, this beauty that I'm beholding of what he has accomplished for me, you know, sin, it's a lot harder to sin in that state of mind. It's a lot harder to sin in when you're full of gratitude and joy for the Lord and what he's accomplished for us.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Paul was getting at in Romans 8. A mind set on the spirit is a mind of life, is life, but a mind set on the flesh leads to death. So, you know, where is your focus and where is your attention? And condemnation is one of those things, and you can see the symptoms if you're dealing with condemnation. You know, are you walking around feeling guilty? Are you you know, very defensive? Are you carrying around a sense of unworthiness? Do you always feel like you need to prove yourself? Are you sensitive to criticism? Do you lack confidence in your relationships? Are you lacking confidence and joy when you pray and you worship? Are you not as excited to come worship at church? Are you, you know, do you not want to pray because there's something there that you feel, why would I pray? I feel dirty. And all of that, you can say, hey, that's the root that's producing that. It's condemnation.
Okay.
And the answer to that root.
Go ahead. No, do the answer first, and then I'll ask you the question.
The answer to condemnation, the answer to that root is Jesus, is what he did. That was God's true answer. That's what God really did. The law couldn't do it, but God did in sending Christ and dying and condemning sin in Christ Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh. So it's seeing what Christ did for us and remembering that our forgiveness and our righteousness and our standing in Christ Jesus of being in that place of love does not change with our day-to-day behavior. Mm. It's something that he accomplished, and it's a perfect work, and we can't change that. The only way we can change that is by refusing to believe it.
Mm. Okay, so you've got John Doe or Mary Doe out there, and they're listening to what you're just saying right now, and all the stuff that you just got done saying about, you know, you don't have any joy, you're feeling condemned, and you know all this stuff, and you're self-centered, and blah blah blah, all that stuff that you just said. So you got, you know, John or Mary out there that are sitting there saying that, well that's me. How do I fix this? How do I get out of myself, if you want to call it that? How do I get out of the self-centeredness or the eyes on myself or the lack of joy, and you know what? That's me. How do I fix it? And Josh says, there's your setup.
Josh says, what I do every, this is what I do, I have to do daily. And it's something that every one of us, you don't graduate from this. This isn't something that you grow out of where you get, okay, now I'm so strong and I'm so far ahead, I don't have to do this anymore. Is you have to start your day and live your day, watch this, in the awe of God, in the awe of the Lord. Or another way you can say it is in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not this, I'm scared of God, right, and I'm running away from him. It's this fear of, I'm terrified to not be with him. It's this awe that controls and moves our hearts to be in a sense, in a state of wonder of this God and what he has done for us. You know, when we're in awe of something, it captures our attention. And what is pride? Pride is having awe of yourself. Yeah. You are so in awe of yourself and the good you've done, or even the bad you've done. And when our awe is on ourselves, we will live in a place of condemnation, because even your best behavior will not amount to the true standard of Christ Jesus.
Right.
So the more in awe of ourselves or other people that replaces the awe or the fear of God, we will live below. We will live unsatisfied, unfulfilled lives. But it's when we place our awe on the Lord and we place our fear in the Lord, and we have such a reverence, and it basically takes control of our hearts. It inspires us. We see him and what he's accomplished. And this is the challenge, right? This is a lot of the work, because so much is pulling our attention every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is one of the things this year especially I've been really focusing on in my own life, is living in the fear of the Lord and living in a constant awareness and being in awe of him. The more in awe of him and who he is, man, the less the things of this world matter to me. And that's true. The less myself matters. I don't take myself so seriously because I'm taking him seriously, if that makes sense. You know, awe is a beautiful, you know, our God is an awesome God, he reigns. You know, awe is a beautiful tool. It's a piece of us that we are always living in awe of something. Something is amazing to us. Something is grabbing our attention. Something pulls our focus. And what I'm saying is, if our awe is anywhere but on him, there's room for dissatisfaction and there's room for condemnation eventually. But that's what it is. And it's remembering, like Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, look, if you're not growing in virtue, if you're not growing in holiness, if you're not growing in love, the problem is you forgot that you were forgiven.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty interesting. It's a matter of what, you know, did you forget? Did you forget how forgiven you are? Did you forget how much God has done for you? Did you forget that you're in Christ Jesus? That
take it for granted.
You've entered this relationship of love.
Yeah. We take it for granted sometimes. We just get used to it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Familiarity is dangerous. We see that in the Gospels when Jesus went to his hometown and they said, wait, isn't this Mary's son?
Yeah.
Isn't this Joseph's son? We know this guy. We're familiar with him. And it said that Jesus could do no mighty work because of their unbelief, except he laid his hands on a few of them and healed some of them. They had a sense of familiarity. And so often church just becomes familiar. And I'm just going to church, going to Sunday. Whoa, wait a minute. You need to stop. And you need to be in awe of God. You need to be in awe of what you're about to do, that you're about to enter into this sacred, holy place of worship, this amazing, holy, holy, holy God with other saints. It is the most joyous, awe-inspiring moment of your life. Mm. And when it becomes familiar and God becomes familiar and this gospel becomes familiar, we start to lose that sense of joy and gratitude of what he's accomplished and done for us.
Mm. Wow. That's good stuff, Josh. All of it. One of the scriptures before we go that I want to bring out is, you'll know exactly where it is, off the top of my head. I can't remember the verse, but draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I mean, and the name of this podcast,
in James 4.
It's all about relationship, and it's not a plug for the show, but that's what it is. It's all about relationship and spending time with the Lord and drawing near to him. And as you do and spending that more time, I believe you will become even in more awe of God on a regular basis, learning to hear his voice.
Absolutely.
And listening to the Holy Spirit and just hanging out with the Lord and just, you know, and opening up your heart. And just telling him how, you know, what you're dealing with and how you feel, and knowing that he's listening to you and that he will never cast you out, no matter, you know, no matter what you bring to him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right. And he wants us to bring everything to him. And if you look at David's life, the one thing that David didn't bring to him was his issues of, you know, when he committed sin with Bathsheba,
right?
You know, he never brought that lustful passion to the Lord. And if you read the Psalms, he brings everything else. God, I'm afraid. God, I'm terrified. Mm-hmm. God, I feel like I'm going to die. God, this and that. You know, he's always bearing his heart, pouring his heart out to the Lord in the Psalms about things he's struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing he never brought to the Lord was about that lust. And where's the one place he fell?
Yep.
You know, he fell in that. And so, you know, what God doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He wants us to bring all of it to him. And the thing is, we do want to live holy lives. We're mandated. We're called to live holy lives. This is the will of God, your sanctification, 1 Thessalonians 4. Like, that is our calling. We are called to be holy people. God said, be holy for I am holy. God, separate yourself. Cleanse yourself of all things that are not pure. Sanctify yourself. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we want. And this is our desire. Yes. But the way we accomplish that is not by just trying harder and let me work harder and let me exercise more willpower. That doesn't work. But what does work is when we bring our attention and our awe on him and his forgiveness, that his work of grace begins to do a work within us.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Amen. That's awesome stuff, Josh. Really appreciate it. Really good stuff.
My pleasure.
Again, folks, listen to, pick up his teachings, which are really awesome, at churchofgrace.com. You can go there, and if you're in Southern California, you want to come to a service Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. That's when we get it going. So
yeah,
and you'll not regret having come and visited us. And I play in the worship band, so you can come say hi to me too personally if you're in the area. So
hey. He shreds on that guitar, I'll tell you.
Well, I don't know about that, but I give it my best. I give it my best. Hey, Josh. Josh,
awesome.
Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it. And don't go. Don't go. Don't hang up. I want to talk to you. But I just want to say, everybody, thanks again, Josh Lotzenheiser, for being on the show today. And if this message has blessed you, which I know that it has, share the link with somebody you know, because it will be a blessing to them too. Thanks again, folks.